listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So you're Houston Texans. We've covered it several times here on The Bench. They're probably not going to be a very good team this year. The roster construction is just, I think, mediocre is a very, very fair term. The question becomes, do you have some hope? Is there anything you have hope with the Texans? And I would say for me, hope means I'm always about building the roster towards something. It's not going to happen overnight. If you want to look at, and granted, it's kind of apples and oranges, but you look at what the Astros did, and that's kind of going to have to be the Texans model. And it will involve trading Deshaun Watson. It will involve multiple first-round picks. So you do have a chance to rebuild your team with good young core players. I worry a little bit about the draft and how effective Nick Caserio is going to be in the draft. I didn't like the way he handled this year's draft. The free agency stuff, hard to tell. You have a season where the salary cap was diminished, and so you have a bunch of one-year deals for players. So it's just veterans who don't want to take long-term deals. Texans don't want to give them out. It's just there's a bunch of Band-Aid players who are on the roster. That's what it boils down to. So I'm watching the quarterbacks a little bit. This is mostly fundamentals. It's not a lot of competitive stuff. There wasn't you didn't have any kind of scrimmage, any kind of one-on-ones. It's just a helmet, no shoulder pads, just shirt, shorts, helmet. That's all it was. And I don't really have a lot to report other than, you know, you'll recognize a lot of the names who are on the roster at wide receiver. If you follow football fairly intently, guys like Alex Erickson, Andre Roberts, Chris Moore to a little lesser extent. There's a lot of different players, a lot of different wide receivers who have been with other NFL teams and who have done a decent job. They're on the roster. They're not even wide receiver threes in most cases. You're looking at a bunch of guys who are wide receiver four, wide receiver five, and you're hoping those guys step up. When I talk about hope, I look at guys like Isaiah Coulter, who they drafted a couple of years ago in the sixth round, and that's a guy with size, some speed. He looked pretty fluid out in routes. He's actually a guy that I'm hoping steps up. What you want to find is a young guy who's developmental, who actually develops. Now, I had a 6.0 grade on him, which is more like a fourth round type of grade, where a guy who you think is going to become a decent player with time. So I actually have, I had hopes for him when he was drafted. I liked that draft pick, and he looked pretty good out in camp. The hands look good on most of the guys except Chris Conley. Chris Conley's just not a guy who catches a ball well. But he does have NFL experience as a starter, so I do think Chris Conley is not only going to make the team, I'd expect him maybe to be one of the first three. Well, Nico Collins, you know, he catches everything, but he's got build-up speed, which means he needs a runway to get to his top speed. And a lot of the routes they had, there was just like comeback stuff. It wasn't any major deal. But you can see he's going to have a hard time getting separation. So the Texans are going to have to scheme him into getting open. And I think it may take him a little while to play. I could see Conley, Brandon Cooks, and I guess Randall Cobb. Playing. And that, you know, you'd have to use Brandon Cooks outside in that particular instance. We'll see if Andre Roberts ends up getting some time. So I don't know. I couldn't see offensive line play much. They were across the other field. They don't let us go over there. I couldn't see pass rush stuff or defensive line stuff. And so I couldn't. Now, the eyeball test, it looks like an average type of roster when it comes to physical traits. There are some teams that you go, whoa, man, this team is designed to look great getting off the bus. That doesn't strike me as necessarily being the case with the Texans. It's kind of middle of the road type stuff. So I don't really have a lot to report out there other than the practices that they practice at a pretty decent pace. I didn't see anything I disliked about it. Once again, it's just an OTA. It's not that big a deal. Music is still hip hop. If you were expecting it to go to some type of more heavy edged rock,
ooh, I was with a
Boston
rock
guy coming in, Why?
Because of
Jack?
Easterby, yeah. I was thinking maybe some Toto or...
Maybe you forgot Crip Walk and Jack.
You know what I'm saying?
We're not going to play any Pop Smoke. We're only going to play Snoop, Known Crip. He's not only playing Crip. The music of guys who are known Crips. He's not staying away from blood music.
You've seen enough of roster building, particularly when there's turnover in the front office when it comes to the general manager. You talk about Coulter. You mentioned Nico Collins. Now, Caserio spent draft capital on Nico Collins. Isaiah Coulter is not his guy. Not that they're the same receiver, but there are a lot of middle-of-the-road veterans in their place. So is Caserio more likely because Collins is his guy? If he was going to give an active roster spot to one of his young receivers, would it be Collins over Coulter?
Yeah, because this is the tricky part. I mean, Collins is going to come in. Coulter hasn't done anything as a Texan.
Yeah.
He got in a doghouse with Bill O'Brien. But if all things are equal, I would think, especially with the rookie, with there being a rookie second-round pick, no matter how many picks you traded it for, the one thing I'll say about Nick Caserio and coming from the Patriots is they really don't give a damn where you got drafted. I mean, they'll cut your ass in a second. They don't care. Bill Belichick didn't. That also is problematic because you were drafting a bunch of guys that you could cut early with early picks. That means you're not doing your job as an evaluator. So that's a problem too. I like the ability to get away from a player if you don't think he's doing well. You just don't want it to have to happen too often. But the other thing is, I think that the Patriot way is about getting competition. And I know that, you know, John's had a problem with why are you bringing all these guys in? I just think that Nick Caserio wants to create competition at every position. And look, this team's probably not going to be very good. Make it competitive. Make it competitive. If Nico Collins, your second-round pick, can't beat out a guy who was a sixth-round pick a couple years ago, then great. Then that means your sixth-rounder is stepping up. So be it. I think if it's up to Nick Caserio, my guess is he will go with the best available. Now, if this were a second-year Nico Collins, maybe it would be different. But as a rookie, you got a runway anyway to teach the guy and for him to learn and things like that. So I would love it if Coulter stepped up and became one of the top three wide receivers on this team. And I do think you are going to see a culture of competitiveness where you aren't just given a position just because of where you're drafted or the fact that you started when Bill O'Brien was the head coach. So I wouldn't be shocked to see some things change around here. Like Russ Blacklock, that was not Nick Caserio's draft pick. Nick Caserio, if he doesn't think you can play, he's going to move on. So Blacklock is a great example of a guy that we're kind of assuming he's going to take over a starting role. But if he's not working the way that, and once again, maybe it's David Culley, maybe it's Lovie Smith, but maybe it is a guy like Nick Caserio. Maybe Caserio has more pull and can say, look, because he's out there on the field, hands-on. Like, Nick Caserio's out there. He doesn't sit off to the side. Like, he gets right up there by the position groups. If he doesn't think a guy is performing up to standards, he may have some input into what the starting lineup looks like. And I'm not saying he's going to say who the starters are, but he may really be in the ears of his coaches saying, hey, if a guy's not good enough, or if he's not competing hard, or if he's not practicing the way we wanted to, he's not going to be at the top of the roster. There's in the depth chart. He's not going to be.
How does an NFL team approach a season when they're not expected to be good? We see the Rockets. The Rockets didn't come in tanking. They started off 11-10, and then the spiral happened, and then we see guys from all over the basketball world come and play for Rockets. And we've discussed Davis Mills playing this year because you would like to find out about him. Should that be a thing across all positions? Not where you're legitimately playing players and telling guys to stay home like you do in the NBA. You play a worse player and tell a guy to stay home who's better because you want to lose. But should there be some type of kind of working some guys in who haven't had a lot of time? Because at some point, guy like Coulter, guy like John Reed, all these Blacklock, as you mentioned, just guys you need to find out about. Because if you're in week 14 and you're terrible, why are you still not working those guys in because of competition? Because you don't want to make it look like you're handing guys snaps?
So there is no tanking in pro football.
No.
Everyone's job is too tenuous. No one wants to get fired. And there's not tanking in football. Everyone thought Miami was tanking, and they ended up winning enough games that they, you know, they ended up moving themselves out of the top draft position. And they were fine with it. And look, they started a culture of winning by doing that. I think that's a good thing. In theory, you say that you play those guys and maybe you get them into rotation. But my guess is if they are not practicing and performing in practice the way that you want to, they're not going to get into the rotation. So at some point, now the Davis Mills thing, to me, you just have to jackhammer that in. I've set the over-under at 10.5 weeks for Tyrod Taylor before I think Davis Mills gets in. There is really no way that the Texans would be doing themselves a disservice, and I think that they would be a staff that showed themselves to not be capable of recognizing the draft and what needs to happen if they don't let Davis Mills play this year. And here's what I mean by that. You drafted a guy with your first pick in the third round. You had needs at cornerbacks. There's some guys like Milifonwu from Syracuse who are on the board, long arm press corners who could have been Texans. Now, they may not have him graded the same way I did or whatever, and the guy did slip to the fourth and go to the Lions. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But what I'm saying is if you have all these holes all over your team and you draft a quarterback and then you try to act like, no, we just took a quarterback. That doesn't mean he's our quarterback of the future. If you did that and you try to sell me on the fact that you drafted with your first pick a backup quarterback, then that's reckless. That's irresponsible as a general manager. More than likely, Nick Caserio says, maybe we can get a little Russell Wilson here. Maybe we can find a guy who can outplay where he was drafted. He's a guy who was a five-star coming out. He's got some good traits. He's a smooth passer from the pocket. He's only had 11 starts. We can project him as being better than where he was drafted. And if you hit on a guy like that, then you can use all that other draft capital to build around him. You got a cheap quarterback, and it's really, really great for building a team if you get that third-round quarterback. The problem is you're going to draft high next year, and you're going to have quarterbacks that you need to look at. So the only way you can draft a quarterback is if you know what you got in Davis Mills. And you can't do this. This can't be a two-game thing. Like, I don't know what Jalen Hurts is for the Eagles. We haven't seen him play enough. I don't know what Jalen Hurts is. And they're going to try to figure it out. And they decided to rock with Jalen Hurts this year instead of going and getting a quarterback, which the Eagles could have done. The Texans don't have that. The Texans must find out with Davis Mills. And if I'm the Texans, and you got to give rookies time, you got to get at least 5 games, if I'm the Texans, under your belt to find out how intelligent is he? How quickly can he get through his reads? How does he process in not just in the game, but in practices? What is his arm talent like against NFL coverage? You got to try to find as much as you can out in a very small sample size, and then you got to make a decision on what you're going to do about quarterback in the draft. And I don't know how they do that unless they play him. And you got to play him. And you know, if Tyrod Taylor doesn't show out early in the season and it doesn't even look competent, who else are you going to play? I guess you can play Jeff Driscoll. He's been a backup.
I would play Davis Mills in that first game against whatever starters the other team rolls out in preseason. And go, we're just giving Tyrod. He's a veteran. We're not going to play him in game one. Find a way to maneuver where
first
he gets
first half,
to,
Driscoll, second half,
or
Mills.
However you want to do it, if you decide, look, we got two veterans who understand the game. Hey, we're just going to give Davis Mills snaps. Doesn't mean much. We just wanted to see him against first-line competition. Even if it's one series against the starters in preseason game one, and then, you know, those guys come out and give him more time. I would find every opportunity I could to see him against the best competition he'll face and see what he's got. I think it's just starting the preseason. In fact, scrimmages, get Davis Mills some reps against the first-team defense on the other side. You can figure that out with the coach, the other coach, and go, hey, look, I want to give my young guy a look. Can you run? Well, we're going to run him against your first team. I would just be creative in finding ways.
They have to do something. But your hope is that here's the hope. Here's the best case scenario for the Texans. The Texans end up with about 5 wins. They have a young quarterback who you say, we might have something here, Davis Mills. Isaiah Coulter steps up and does well. and Blacklock ends up making, you know, getting to the quarterback for about 6 or 7 sacks, and somebody in your secondary, you know what? Lonnie Johnson.
Unleashed.
Unleashed Lonnie Johnson. Maybe Lonnie Johnson ends up stepping up and doing something in year three. Max Sharping ends up playing really well, and so does Titus Howard, a tackle. Listen, I know I'm down on the Texans, and with good reason, and all of us are, but there are reasons, or there are things to look for, and it's primarily the draft from 2 years ago. If those guys can step up, and Davis Mills ends up being given the Texans some hope, then all of a sudden, like Miami, who looked like they were dead in the water, you could end up having some hope by the end of the year. You're still going to get picks. You're still going to deal Deshaun. He's going to be worth a lot of first-round picks. I'm telling you. Don't listen to people who tell you you're going to get nothing. You're definitely going to get something for Deshaun. It's 10-19 here on the bench.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
See, that's Washed Out by, it's
now,
the theme
that's
of
the
Portland.
Name of the band, Washed,
Washed
Out.
Out is the name of the band. It's the theme that people recognize as the theme of Portlandia.
Portlandia, yeah.
Yeah. I know, Trey, you like that kind of music. I'm into a lot of that music.
Yeah,
Tame
we're in the
Impala.
Same
we both
circle.
Like Tame Impala.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the same circle.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that EP that the song was on. It's a really good EP.
Yeah, it's good EP.
EP. Life of Leisure?
Yeah, Life of Leisure. Really great EP. Not all 4 songs on the album. No skips.
Do you have... I mean, so I...
Speaking
I
of no...
On...
Your boy, speaking of no skips, Shay Serrano. He's got a new podcast. It's called No Skips, where he just goes through some classic albums. He did 50 Get Rich or Die Trying.
What does he do?
It's just a podcast.
Does he do like music analysis?
No. Well, it's less analysis and more like, hey, we're just going to break down this album, talk about what it meant at the time, the cultural impact, and like he did 50 Cent. Like I said, he did 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. He did Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. So he does these classic albums and those albums where you don't skip, where you can listen to the whole thing and find something meaningful. And so I know. So that's something. If you love music and you love music podcasts, Shay Serrano's doing that.
I always think it's so crazy. Like I wanted to do something one time with Brandon Caldwell, who's a local guy who does a lot of writing, music writing, stuff like that, and sports, about like old school R&B. There's some songs that are so raunchy. But they do it smooth,
yeah.
Like the Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets.
Right.
If you listen
that's
to everything.
That's on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
What's that?
That's on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
What?
I don't know.
Trey is more ADD than me. He can get pulled off the track more than I can.
You know, on this end, sitting here, you hear what I am about on that end, but I don't feel like it impacts the show the same way.
No. Trey is a disruptor.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that necessarily
like
in a negative way.
Clowny, you know?
Yeah, like you're a disruptive force on the show.
I feel like my things are pushing some... Sure, there's some let's make fun of the host thing from me, but I feel like my stuff is pushing the context or the content of the conversation one way or the other. Trey is a record stop,
yeah,
a record scratch.
Yeah. And sometimes things need to be disrupted. Like
yeah.
A disruptor sometimes can be positive, sometimes not positive.
Yeah, you're talking about raunchy R&B music.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, that was on San Andreas. And like, what?
Yeah, Between
that's
the Sheets is on GTA.
Yeah. That's how I know this. That's how I'm relating.
What is occurring when that song is just part of the soundtrack of the video game?
Yeah, and like, well, you can probably use that. That could be the soundtrack of
what?
You could meet a woman
of the night, a woman
on
of the night,
San Andreas. Is it San Andreas or San?
Yeah, usually people say San Andreas. You can meet some woman and have that song being played while you do stuff.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry, Lance. Go back to whatever
no,
you're saying.
I don't. I mean, it's over now.
Okay.
It's over now. But some old school. But that's good. I gotta listen to Shay's new podcast. I was trying to get Eric Layden on, but we're not going to be able to get him on. I do want to mention that 93%, there's a study, and I got it right here. When I saw this, I thought, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I'll tell you why. The headline is 93% of young people admit to using their phones on the toilet, according to a new survey. Okay, that needed to be a number one, 93% of all adults,
everybody,
of
right?
humans.
Who has a cell phone.
I don't know why it's young. It's everybody who has one is going to, for sure.
Seems like a really weird conversation starter.
When you're you're getting the results and you're asking people if you use your phone on the toilet, it seems like, yeah, why are you asking that question? That's an obvious answer of yes. Ooh. If I have a smartphone, I'm going to use it.
You know who had this... So VioGuard, a leader in UVC technology, they're the ones who had this survey, and you know why they did it? A strong majority of the respondents, 73%, admitted to using their phone on the toilet or standing at the urinal, regardless of age or gender. Younger people admitting to using their phone at 93%. One of three people surveyed admitted they never cleaned their phone, and 75% admitted to cleaning them less than once per day.
That's
of those
good.
That did not clean their phone, less than half used a chemical wipe product. Others admitted to using a cloth or even the shirt sleeve or pant leg. So basically, they're just trying to gross you out. This is a cleaning place, some kind of tech, some kind of leader in cleaning technologies is why that came out there. How many people do you think realize that you are on the phone?
I don't touch people's phones.
No.
No, it's
but
part of the reason
don't
I don't.
Don't act like Dell that
no,
you're not on a
no,
toilet
I'm not, I don't,
on the phone
I don't,
talking to people.
I don't call people.
Yeah, Dell doesn't talk on
you
the phone.
You don't answer a phone?
No.
If you've been
for
on
whatever
toilet?
Reason, my phone silences almost every call. Like, it's its default mode. I don't get it, actually.
You don't get it. That's what you want.
I know. That's what I want, but I don't like... But it's a problem when, like, when you call, like, a customer service place, and they're like, well, we'll call you... Leave your number, we'll call you back. And it doesn't come through because it silences every call.
Well, there's got to be a setting you're not hitting.
What setting am I hitting? Hey, it doesn't matter. Like,
ring?
Like,
I mean, you're going to sound.
No, I'm not I'm not talking about like you have it on silent. I'm talking about it doesn't show up. Like, and then I'll go through my phone.
It goes through?
Do you have Do Not Disturb on?
No, not on every call.
No, you got Do Not Disturb on your. That's your default in life.
No, I have it on the group chat, to be honest. You guys just talk about a lot of stuff I don't care about. So I do have it on the group chat.
I actually do too.
Yeah. So I do.
Wait,
do
wait,
that.
Wait. You don't have John and Lance on.
Yeah. Glory, the Glory,
on.
The Glory Boys.
Yeah, I had to put Glory Boys
it's just
on.
Not,
do Not Disturb.
It's just a lot of
the
stuff.
Dings were too much.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff. But no, like a phone call from someone in my family, it'll just go through and you don't see it until I check the phone app.
But
I don't.
Are you wanting to get a call from
someone
in your family?
Honestly, I appreciate the phone knowing me and doing that itself.
It feels like, what are you complaining about?
No, I'm just. But the examples of, hey, we've got something. We want to call you back because you had an issue. I don't get those calls either. It just goes right to. It goes through missed call. You don't see it. You check your phone later and says I missed the call.
That if I called Dell right now, the phone would ring.
It might. I'm not sure. Cause
got you on,
but
you're not disturbed.
But I don't. I think you're saved. So it might. I don't know. But
yeah, I'm saved.
How would you know?
Because
he doesn't know.
You sent me an email one time, and you said it was awesome. So,
but that doesn't mean you're a saved contact in my phone.
You sent that to me, so I figured the next.
What did
step,
he say to you?
He said you're really awesome, Trey, and I love you. And
wow,
that was actually because the clowns here can't just let if you're still logged in, let you just sign out. Nick sent that. The same way Trey tweeted out from my account once.
I think
he goes,
it was you, Dell.
And he wasn't very clever about it. He goes, this is Dell, and then wrote the thing.
I think that was you, Dell.
I was like,
this is Dell?
I don't share the account
Nobody
with someone.
Nobody on Twitter starts with, this is me.
Unless it's a shared account, like the Dan Lebatard show has an account. They share between multiple guys, so they'll write, and they'll go, oh, by the way, Dan. Why do you don't write, this is Dell, then go on with your tweet. And I just let it stay up there. I didn't care.
Yeah, Dell didn't care.
No, but much
Dell
like
knew
that,
I was going through
much like
stuff.
That tweet, that was Nick sending you an email.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry to break your heart.
Sorry to break
that
your
heart. That wasn't really you?
Trey, you talk to people while you're on the toilet with your phone. I know that.
No. Yeah.
You do. Everyone does.
Everyone does.
Everyone who takes a call does
you
that.
You don't want people to know, obviously.
Yeah, I don't tell them.
Except my daughter's busted in before. When are you out of the bathroom? She's like, shut up. You don't want a coach. You don't want an NFL position coach. Like, hey, coach. Like,
yeah.
You don't want them to say, are you in a toilet?
You don't want Brett Veach knowing you're.
No. Brett Veach has put me on pay no mind list.
I've done that.
I used to be able to get a hold of. He hadn't like responded to a anymore. Text in 2 years.
I've done that with meetings here. Like when I'm not here and it's a Zoom thing and or whatever we do.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually remember and like, I guess, come into the meeting. I'll go to the bathroom. The camera's off. I'll just put myself on mute and listen.
Yeah, you don't want to go tubing.
No.
Yeah, don't go tubing.
Nah, it's not a thing I'm ever going to do. Tubing.
He's not going to go tubing. 10:32 here on the bench. Stay with us. We got another 30 minutes to go.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, my man Eric Layden has finished filming Ozark Season 4. He's a chef in it.
That's all I want to know. I don't want any more storylines.
Yeah, okay. He's done. He was in Atlanta filming. He's all finished with that. He's got something else coming up. He's going to be in New Orleans. Filming. I'm trying to.
CSI?
No. He's got a movie coming up, and I'm trying to remember what it's about. But, so he's all done with that, and I was trying to get him to come on the show, but he's locked down.
Is it called Where the Crawdads Sing?
Yes, that is what it is.
It's on IMDb. It's already up there.
That's 100% what it is. It's based on a book.
Ooh,
I guess.
He's going to be starring in it with Daisy Edgar Jones. Did you see Normal People on Hulu?
Yeah, that's what he told me. He said she's awesome. He said she's super sharp. I didn't see it. I watched one episode. It looked really good. I know. I think you said it was good.
I would say it is very realistic. The sex scenes, like it's like, wow, this is
in Normal People.
In Normal People,
yeah.
Not
I
like,
saw
not
well, a, you saw it early in the show. I will tell you, my daughter's listening, and she already told you during the break. About your inappropriateness. The fact that you just said the S word.
You can't say that. What should I have said? Nothing?
No, I mean, you're accurate, but I'm just telling you, you made the list.
Well, I don't want, I'll be appropriate and say no one under 18.
Love scenes.
Love scenes?
Love scenes.
Yeah. Well, at that point in the relationship, it wasn't
Banshee
love.
She is not love scenes.
No, that's
different.
Just stuff. But yeah, she's really good in that. And he'll be in that, so that's pretty cool. That show, if you like interpersonal relationships and how difficult they can be, you know.
And if you like reading subtitles, because you have to keep subtitles
because they're
on.
Irish. Also, let's just say it falls into the category of white bummer stuff, kind of.
Yeah, you and I talked about it during the break.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Everyone
people,
knows when I say that.
Yeah, white bummer stuff is
like mayor of Easttown is white bummer stuff.
Okay. So this Mayor of Easttown thing is, they said it's the highest rated show they've ever had on HBO Max, which has not been on, you know,
not
super long.
No.
I didn't watch it, but I didn't realize it was this. I started finding out a lot of people watched Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's good, but like I said, it's white bummer stuff. Like if you watch Broadchurch, it has that some of that vibe where there's always, oh, look, around the corner. That's another awful thing that happened. Beartown is.
It's not in our country.
It's not in our country,
people.
But it's also white bummer stuff.
What about Handmaid's Tale?
That's a little different. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make me sad what happens in Handmaid.
What?
You're just so beat down. It's because that's post apocalyptic, not the real world stuff.
I don't know, I'm talking about. That made me pretty sad.
Stuff situated in reality, kind of.
Yeah. Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah. White bummer stuff.
That's even Northeast bummer stuff. Like,
Mayor of Easttown is kind of too. Philly.
That's what
Pennsylvania,
I'm thinking.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, our people do pretty good bummer stuff. Like, that's, yeah, you're...
You lean...
I was trying to think of a black show.
What's a
movie
black bummer
or TV
movie?
Show that's bummer? Nothing.
I mean...
You never see Tiffany Haddish on something where it's a bummer show?
Comedic actor, so that certainly makes some sense.
I'm just saying.
Zendaya and John David Washington had that...
Euphoria.
That's not, well, that's not bummer that doesn't fit white bummer stuff. No. I mean, some bad things happen,
She's
but it's different.
Addicted to opioids.
No, bad things can
happen. Oh, I got
bad
one.
Things can happen in shows and not be a white bummer series.
I got one for you now. It was a movie way back in the day.
It doesn't fit, Trey. Trust me.
There were black actors, but it was a guy named Norman Jewison who wrote it, and it was a stage play first. But have you ever seen the movie A Soldier Story? That's way back in the day.
No, I haven't.
Young Denzel. That's bummer. That's black actors, but written by a white guy. So
yeah, but the drug stuff. But that drug stuff in Euphoria is kind of also like celebrated.
Right.
Is the
Wire black bummer stuff?
That's crime. Mm.
There's some sad stuff that happens.
I feel like that's more crime. That's more like a crime series more than
anything else. This is just like depressing stuff that happened.
Oh look, there's a series where
I gotta come up with something.
A dad cheats on the wife, and so in return. Something bad happens to the kid.
When are we going to see black bummer stuff on movies?
We don't really do that. It's not really a thing.
Hmm.
Like, you have relationship drama in black shows, but like awful things like that happening, where you turn and every time
somebody's kid dies, like Manchester by the Sea, and it's like, oh man, this is heavy.
Yeah.
This is super heavy.
It doesn't really get featured. At least not stuff that gets put on
HBO
Max.
What about Boys in the Hood when...
Yeah,
he was going to go to USC and be a running back, and he
got
shot.
Sure,
that counts.
That's
Lawrence Fishburne and his son. That counts.
That's gang violence. That's not implicit.
That's interfamily.
That's not an implicit bummer movie.
Boys in the Hood. I smell you. Oh, you remember when he was getting his haircut?
Exactly. That was not
family thing.
But that's not bummer. Isn't?
But it turned into bummer.
Of course, bad things happen in movies.
That's funny stuff
in what?
Funny stuff in Manchester by the Sea?
What's funny stuff?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Literally no scene.
You don't see it. The tone of...
Hold on, Trey.
We can't really hear you.
We're arguing. You're just going, hey,
yeah.
Hey,
hey, hey, guys, what about this? We can't really hear you. I'm just being honest.
It sounds like an auctioneer in the background.
Implicitly, Boys in Hood isn't a bummer movie. Yeah,
it's a bummer-ass thing that happens.
Yes, bad things happen. I get it. Gang violence, all that stuff. But it isn't like... But there's some celebration... What about Ice Cube's character?
Just because they have a barbecue early doesn't mean it's a celebration.
And Lawrence Fishburne stuff with Cuba Gooding Jr., he finds love with Nia Long, I think, is in the...
Yeah.
Not Nia Long. Is it Nia Long?
I think it is Nia Long.
Yeah. A bad thing happens at the end.
Heartful.
But it's not a downer the entire movie.
What about Hardball?
Yes, the kid dies. That's sad.
Cameron suggested it.
Which one?
Hardball, where Keanu Reeves plays the manager of this inner city kid's baseball team.
Oh,
Yes, the kid dies because once again, gun violence. But that's a movie about this guy who's down on his luck.
Excuses for that's people.
That's not a black bummer movie. The white savior goes into the inner city and brings this baseball team together, and he uses the team as a way to rehabilitate himself. That's not a bummer movie.
Name another white savior movie.
Name another one.
Yeah,
Dances with Wolves.
No, white savior in inner city. You got the one where.
The Blind Side.
Blind Side. Michelle Pfeiffer goes into the inner city and
Dangerous Minds.
Yeah,
wasn't that the Gangster's Paradise movie?
That's the song from the Coolio song. Yes, I'm telling you,
there was another one where Ryan Gosling goes into inner city schools as a teacher.
What?
Yeah, he was nominated for an Oscar for it. It was good too.
What was he?
I'm telling you, look it up. He was good. He went into. There's always a white teacher who's going to try to help save the inner city,
and they usually are successful in movies.
Here's a good one. What about Get Out?
That's not a white.
Yeah, that's a
horror movie. That's not a white bummer movie. No, it isn't. He wins in the end.
White people are trapped in younger black people's bodies, and they're crying in their
but
eyes.
But in the end...
And then people get killed, and then that one hot girl from Girls...
Allison Williams.
Yeah.
But in the end... The protagonist wins. That's not a black bummer movie.
Yeah,
that's a horror movie where the black guy wins in the end. Stop it. You guys have cornered the market on bummer series and movies.
I didn't say we had.
And you're picking the wrong things. Okay. Precious, someone said, was a bummer movie.
I've never seen Precious.
So I can't speak to it.
Whoever said Precious wins. That's what he says.
Another person tweeted it, I think, as well. But I've never seen it.
Check Twitter because Dell is wrong. Definitely Precious.
I may agree. I've just never seen it.
You want to get to this on the other side?
What, more bummer movies?
Yeah.
Well, I think we've made our point.
Yeah, we made the point is Mayor of Easttown, Manchester by the Sea, Beartown, what else? What's the other one? Broadchurch. white bummer movies and white bummer TV shows are a huge thing because apparently white people like being sad.
I don't love it, but I watch it.
Yeah,
Beartown was really good.
It's compelling, certainly.
Beartown was really... Ooh, that was a really despondent one. And everyone's been talking about Mayor of Easttown, so now I have to watch that one too because I got to finish Startup. I'm getting ready to... That's kind of a bummer. That's got some bummer elements to it.
Oh, Euphoria is not a bummer.
It's not a bummer TV. It's not a bummer TV show. I know
she's
addicted to drugs, but that's a bad thing happening to someone. But it's not a continuous thing of awful, awful things.
Y'all
going to
see a bummer show on Sundays at noon on Channel 11 or Channel 26.
Texans?
Depending on the Texans, what their schedule is.
We got to go to break.
That's going
to
be a lot of bummer stuff. You're right.
10:45. You're on the bench.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Two names of black bummer movies. One I came up with, Moonlight. I win.
I still disagree.
Bummer movie. They became an item at the end. They lived together, and it
that was a bummer all over. There was bummer elements all over that movie.
But it ended not.
But
ended
the movie
good.
Itself isn't about sadness and guilt. It shows this journey of this young black kid who's gay and being kind of the outsider and what he has to do to accept himself and become a man. That's more of a journey movie.
I like that part where he hit that dude with the chair.
That's wrestling.
Cool.
That was Monday Night Raw, Trey.
Yeah. He literally hit the dude with the chair. You don't remember?
No, I've only seen the movie once.
That's going to be one of the Oscar-winning movies that nobody remembers.
It's not a movie you want to go back to.
And a bunch of people never saw it anyway.
It's not a rewatchable type of a movie. It's not something you are dying to see again.
How many times have you seen La La Land? I'm going to guess
never.
Three?
Never.
I've never seen La La Land either.
I've seen clips of
that. I think you'd like it, Trey.
I would.
I think you'd like it. You like musicals.
No, I don't. I hate musicals.
You know there's a musical guy around the office. That's all I'm
saying. There is. I've seen clips of La La Land. I've never watched the movie.
It's not bad. I like La La Land fine.
Moonlight
for what it is.
I've seen the one time. I don't have any interest
in
watching it.
I don't think
my
wife likes that redhead.
She doesn't like Emma Stone?
No.
Who doesn't like Emma Stone?
My wife.
Is it because she's a smoker?
My wife thinks it. I don't think that's why. My wife also has decided that Handmaids has jumped a shark.
Well, there's a lot of... It's more like June's taking it to a level where it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting
tired. I almost would like you to go away.
This is like an action figure now.
Yeah.
So
I mean, an action
she's
movie.
Not going to go see Cruella, your wife?
Yeah, no. My kids, yeah, they all want to watch it. Is it on HBO Max?
It's on Disney
it's
Plus.
It's on Disney Plus.
Premium
but I'm
access.
I'm going to see it in the theaters because I'm not afraid anymore.
I do. I went to go see Quiet Place 2 in a theater. Only place you can't see it. Disney Plus is premier access, so you'd have to pay like $30 to see it. Plus, I already have the subscription. For Cruella.
12 Years a Slave? That's pretty bummer.
True, but
I think
it is.
We got one.
But you,
now it's your turn to make an excuse
I'm
for it not being a bummer.
I'm going
to
point out.
About 12 Years
I'm just
a Slave. Sell me on how
yes,
it's not a bummer.
And Amistad is very sad, too. Understood.
Yeah, Amistad. But except when he goes, give us free.
I would ask you not to do the impression anymore. That makes me sad when you do the impression. Okay. This particular segment is a bummer for me. Yes, it's a sad movie, but it's a historical drama portraying an awful event in history. Just like Schindler's List is sad, but I wouldn't call it a white bummer movie because you go in knowing, oh, the Holocaust, terrible. You know it's going to be terrible. But we're talking about movies being made over real, like, events, smaller events in someone's lives. We're just going to focus, not small.
Was
these
it
are,
Gone,
these
gone
are
Baby
terrible,
or
Gone
whatever?
Girl? Or Gone, yeah. Gone Baby
that
Gone?
Movie,
Gone
really?
Baby Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Those,
these are the type
girl.
Of things I'm talking about.
Yeah, this appeals to our people.
Why?
How about Girl with the Velvet Tattoo or whatever?
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Those yeah, same thing.
Those aren't bummer movies. Those
well,
are like,
but I feel like it makes it feel like it when you get the weather element. I feel like the overcast element of all these movies you're talking about.
Yeah, does the sun ever shine in the
you
bummer
don't
movies?
You want it to be a bummer movie? The movie that Ben Affleck wrote with with Matt Damon.
Manchester by the Sea?
No. Not that
the
one.
The one they won an Oscar
the
for?
The one they won an Oscar for.
Good Will Hunting?
Good Will Hunting.
That was
wanted
not
to
a
be a bummer
movie,
but then it was good. Then it was happy.
It wasn't a bummer movie.
Well, but it the had elements. It started that, down that road.
But it turns out that the guy found, whatever, we all know the journey it was. To your point, yes, there are movies that have either all black casts or black stories that are sad.
What about John Q? Or, you know, the movie
that's
where
an
he
action
says, I'm not going to bury my son.
Once again, just because something bad
happened.
What about
that movie where Denzel stuck dynamite in that guy's ass? What's that one?
You're talking about...
Remember when he was getting revenge
on
everybody?
Man on Fire?
Yeah.
That's not a bummer movie.
But what about that movie,
that's
though?
That's an action revenge movie.
Yeah, that was good. Revenge movie.
Yes,
good.
It is. Yes, that's
enough
an entertaining
bummer
movie.
Hey, here's going to be a bummer movie for some people in Boston. What if Becky Hammon... There's talk that Becky Hammon is going to leave the Spurs because the new GM, Brad Stevens, has been very vocal about what a great job she's done and how he hopes there's a female NBA coach soon. So now there's speculation, and you speculated.
I can't
some
wait
Boston
for
fans.
I can't wait for her to get that job, because then we can have all these Boston fans pretending like it doesn't bother them. I can't wait for that, because they're going, oh no, no, and then I can listen to Becky Hammon talk about the subtle misogyny in Boston. She'll follow the Kyrie
track. She won't
say
that.
She won't, because she'll
have
the job.
Will anyone throw a bottle of water at her?
Well, what's their record at the time?
Don't stomp on Lucky.
Yeah.
Just know that
well,
much.
She won't do that.
Will their players listen to her? And the reason I ask that, and I think it's a legitimate question, is because supposedly Danny Ainge is like, all right, I'm out on this. These players right now are just too hard to get through to. I don't know. Maybe that's an issue where the Celtics have talent. Are they, you know, are they coachable? Will they listen to any coach? Will Becky Hammon be any different? I'll tell you what will be. Every player is going to know they're on, what's the phrase I'm looking for? They are going to be on notice.
Mm-hmm.
If Becky Hammon is the first NBA coach, because let me tell you something, if there's any rumors, and Becky Hammon would not let anything leak out, but if anyone said this player or that player is hard to coach, they're being dismissive of Becky Hammon, they're going to get their asses killed in the media for being unwilling to take coaching from the first female coach. So you might see Celtics on best behavior if she came over. And I think she's probably pretty good.
I don't think Greg Popovich is giving her a prominent role on his staff just because, oh, he's being progressive. We know he's a progressive man, but I mean, it's still about, you know, performance. And so it would be a discredit to Becky Hammon to assume that just she's a woman, so that's why Pop put her there. She's good at what she does. It would be interesting to see. I always thought she was just next in line for the Spurs job. Because how long has Pop been a coach?
So
but maybe
too.
She doesn't want to wait. What?
I thought so, too.
Yeah, it seemed like what was going to happen. But
and maybe she still is. That's
yeah,
just,
it's just
I don't
a rumor
know.
I think
out
it's
there.
Tim Duncan now, right?
Is he a full-time assistant on that
I
staff?
I think he's an assistant, yeah.
Could be. I just don't know if Tim Duncan wants to be the guy for 82 games a
I'm
year.
I'm telling you, man, I'm struggling with Tim with braids. Like, to this day, that's hard for me. Tim with braids is just when you see a guy get older and then hook up the braids when he's older.
I just
wasn't ready for
Tim that. Duncan. Why do you have more swag now than you did when you were playing? Is, mm-hmm. I think the issue we're all having
because he had tone it down for Tony Parker and Manu.
He didn't want to upset those two.
He had to keep his swag in check.
Okay.
Ooh.
But the Buckingham. I would love to see it. Just because I want to see Boston people be on their best behavior and see how long it lasts.
Because they'll all be on notice.
Yeah.
I like how you...
Not just the players. The entire fan base will be one who will have to curtail their thoughts for just a little bit.
Glory.
Once again, that's a historical drama about war. But yes, sad things happen. The definition's pretty clear. You guys know what a white bummer movie is. Stop naming war movies.
Roots.
That's pretty sad.
Eric said Roots. There is never... That's as big a bummer movie as you're going to find.
Alex Haley Roots is pretty sad.
Yes. That's about as sad as it gets. I'm hoping that the Toronto Blue Jays are made sad by Zach Greinke today. We'll see if the good Zach Greinke shows up and shows out. My guess is he will. Over the weekend, you got Greinke, followed by Urquidy. trying to build on his last strong performance, followed by Luis Garcia as Captain Ponytail continues to assert himself into the starting five, despite the return of the once dominant Jake Odorizzi. Doesn't really matter. We appreciate you guys listening. John Granato will be back on Monday. Thanks to Trey for stepping in as a producer. Thank you to Dell. Thank you to all of you who chimed in and piped in on the show. We hope you had a good time. You guys have a great weekend. Coming up next, it's the Charlie Palillo Show. Maybe with Charlie Palillo?
Oh, he's here. It's maybe with Nick, and he's not, because it'll be me producing.
Okay, we'll see you soon, Dell.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.